shop is when we admit our powerlessness and our inability to manage our own lives, we open the door to recovery. Basic Test, page 19 and 20. Our first speaker is Nick L. from Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Let's go, Nick.
You stay up here with me. I'm going to have a moment of silence. Yeah, it's a fucking honor. I already want to cry. It's an honor to be fucking asked to do something like this. Like, I've shared at some meetings, you know, like I've been asked to speak a couple of times. And it's crazy because I know that I fucking live the program for the most part. I also know that there's a good majority of my life where I'm not living the program. You know, I'm not fucking doing this all the time. I would like to be, but that's not the case. I only brought my book up here to not so I don't fucking forget the topic. Anyway, it's so crazy. Like I fucking came up here. Like I've been obsessing on this shit, you know, and I go back and forth where I'm like, I'm gonna fucking kill it, and then I'm like all the way up until a fucking hour ago, like I was cool all the way up until like an hour ago, and I'm like, I ain't got shit to say. I don't have anything to say, and there's one instance in my life that just happened, you know, that's like fucked up that I don't want to talk about, and everybody, like, I've had three different people tell me, like, now you got something to share about, and it's like, no, fuck, I'm not sharing about that. No, like, I probably won't, and I might. But anyway, so super fucking nerve. I've never shared at a workshop. I've never had a topic when I've spoke, but I was really fucking glad to find out there were several things going on when I spoke so that not everybody would be here. And I know everybody's here for Ben, not me. Anyway.
Go ahead, man, let's go.
All right.
There he is.
All right. When we admit our powerlessness over... When we admit our powerlessness and our inability to manage our own lives, we open the door to recovery. Like, that's something that I didn't come here with. I didn't get here trying to admit anything. You know, I just came here to fucking tell the women how fucking badass of a dope man I was in the streets. You know, like that was it. You know, I just wanted to fucking. I really just didn't want to go to jail forever. You know, I didn't have any idea the power that was in admission. It talks about somewhere in here, like, honesty is the antidote to our diseased thinking. Yes. Like, if it's so crazy how powerful this shit is, you know what I mean? Like, because I had no idea how much freedom I was going to get, how much, like, when we talk about a fucking antidote, I'm talking about, like, I'm sick inside. I don't fucking feel good a lot of times. I don't feel good a lot of times. And there's something about a fucking antidote that makes me feel better. And if honesty is the antidote, then why the fuck wouldn't I just tell the truth? Tell the truth sometimes just means fucking telling somebody something, you know? Just opening my fucking mouth. Like there's all kinds of things that happen on a regular basis that I don't want to fucking call my sponsor about. Like, it's so crazy that, like, I would choose to feel sick sometimes than to fucking get the antidote. Like, why the fuck? It's so crazy. Like, I've came to a point where I've realized, like, if I can just admit that I need help, I can get help. Why do I choose to fucking feel like shit? You know what I mean? Like, I'm gonna go into this. Fuck, this is some shit happened at work the other day. Like, I don't like talking about work. It's fucked up. I feel like this is probably something that I don't need to talk about. But maybe it is, because everybody keeps telling me that's what I'm supposed to share about. But, like, I fucking almost, I could have died the other day. Like, I had some fucking crazy, like, I made a really poor mistake the other day. Like, a really poor mistake, and it could have resulted in my life. Like some, I fucking did some really sketchy shit, and something fell. And luckily, it smashed a fucking $8,000 motor that my boss is fucking pissed about. That motor saved my life. Like, it fucking would have killed me. And I just want to make up all these fucking excuses and tell my boss, like, this is why I did it, or this is that, or whatever. And I don't really know really where I'm going with all that. Like, but the thing is, like, I can't stop thinking about it. You know? The first day I was like, cool. He fucking told me to go home. He said, don't come back for the rest of the week. I took that as a, like, I want to be like, fuck you. I quit. Best thing that's ever happened to me is this job. Like, this job is amazing. And I want to be like, fuck you. I quit. And I acted like I was cool, because I'm like, cool, I got 5 days off, I can go to the convention early, whatever. And I felt like it was fine, and really, that night, like, I haven't fucking slept much. I can't stop thinking about it. Like, I'm fucking powerless over this fucking, like, my thinking is fucked up, man. And what's crazy is I know that I can fucking get a remedy, an antidote, if I fucking call somebody and tell them, like, I'm fucked up, I can't stop thinking about this shit. I am unable to manage my fucking life right now. I can't fucking do this without help. And I fucking call somebody, and I feel better. And I called somebody else, and I feel a little bit better. You know, and I get a little bit of a different perspective on things, because my boss didn't fucking come out and be like, you could have fucking lost your life. All he said was, you just cost us a lot of fucking money. and that's all I can see. And anyway, I'm unable to see myself coming. I don't know, man. The first step is some fire, you know. Like, there's no fucking recovery. Like, I can't get any better if I can't admit I have a problem. I have to admit that I have a problem. And I've worked the steps, you know what I mean? I've gone through a round of steps. I know that, like, I've came to believe that a power greater than me could restore me to sanity. Like, I fucking know that if I call Tyler, I'm gonna fucking feel better. I know if I expose myself on a regular basis, I'm gonna fucking feel better. I'm not gonna feel like shit. Like, that it sucks feeling sick inside. For some reason, when I made it through that last round of steps and I started over on my first step, I have first step shit facing me again, and that shit's painful. When I first worked the first round of steps, I didn't know what the fuck I was doing. I was just like, oh, okay, I'm gonna answer these questions, I'm gonna call you, whatever, cool. Yeah, I lost the desire to use somehow, whatever. You know, I didn't know what the fuck I was doing. Now, I'm looking, like, directly in the face with fucking things that I'm fucked up about, still, clean. Things that I'm not willing to admit out loud in front of people, you know. Like, I want to fucking get better, you know. I know that if I fucking tell somebody, I can get better, and still, I refuse sometimes, you know. Like, am I willing to surrender? Am I willing to admit that I'm powerless? Am I willing to admit, like, I feel like this is the first step, you know what I mean? This is a fucking program of recovery, and I've actively am working it, you know, and I still can stand up here and feel like I ain't shit. I'm not qualified to fucking carry this message. You know what I mean? Like, am I fucking living the because the reality is, once I got back to this first step, I don't know, man. I'm fucking been really hard on myself lately. I'm really going through some shit in my head. But, yeah, I don't know. I thought this would be... Yeah, I don't know. That's all I'm going to share. That's all I got. Sorry, guys.
All right. So, next up is a newcomer, Benjamin B.
Let's go, Ben.
My name's Benjamin. I'm an addict.
Hey, Benjamin.
Nick, you did a good job, man.
Yeah.
Short and sweet, just like I like it. Ask my wife. Nice. Anywho.
I don't get it.
Get with me after the meeting. No, that was good. I'm grateful to be here. Again, my name's Benjamin. I'm an addict. And it was crazy because my wife and I were driving around today because we got here last night. We came to the kickoff speaker gym. It was great. You know what I mean? It was four people did a great fucking job. You know what I mean? And then I did a little work this morning. And we were driving around and we drove by OU Medical Center. And that was where in 2013, I think it was in December of that year, I woke up in that hospital with 18 stitches in my neck. Because I had slit my throat as a result of the disease of addiction. And then we were driving out to the outlet mall in a goddamn sandstorm, and there's a hotel over there, and I don't know what it's called now. I think it's Microtel or something, but it wasn't called that then. But it was in that hotel. I had just gotten out of Oklahoma County Jail, which we also drove by. 0 stars. Do not recommend. We were driving by. I got out of that jail, and I was in the jail long enough to collect a couple of these VA checks. And there was this girl who brought me the checks, and she took me to that hotel. I made it for 3 fucking days in that hotel. I had like $5,000, which to me at the time was like, I was like Jeff fucking Bezos, you know what I mean? I was like, it's fucking party time, baby, like, let's go. But like, I couldn't find anybody to bring me anything, so I walked across the street to the Walmart and I got a bunch of like triple C's and shit. And I went back to the hotel and I ate them all, and I lost my mind in the lobby of that hotel. And I was out back. I went out back behind the hotel, and I was in the fetal position, and I was crying, and the cops came, and they took me back to jail. And it's like, that's because I used to live in Oklahoma. I used to live on Southwest 59th and May. If you're not from here, it's a shithole. It's not a great place, but like that's my experience. You know what I mean? That's what I have to reflect on when I drive around, you know, this area. Is like, God dang, man. And now, you know, I get to be here for a different reason. And I'm grateful to be at this convention, man. I've been clean for almost 7 years, and I've only been to Orkin to ever hear one speaker, you know, a couple times. A couple years, come hear one speaker, dip out. Not for any legitimate reasons, certainly not for any good reasons. But it's like, so I'm grateful to be here and to actually spend some time here, you know. I don't know how on topic I'm going to be. I'm going to try to make my way there. But I wanted to share something else with you guys. You know, also, and actually another thing too that just happened, man, a member came up to me before this workshop and was like, hey, I was in Kansas City and I met someone there, and I told them that I was from Tulsa, and they were like, do you know Benjamin B? And he was like, yeah. And they were like, oh, that's my ex. And I was like, fuck, what did they say, you know? And he was like, yeah, I told him. I was like, yeah, he's an amazing person. And I'm like, and in that moment, I was like, here's two people meeting for the first time who have completely different understandings of who I am.
Yeah.
Like, here's a person who, like, I, like, sold out to, like, in the disease of addiction, like, someone who, like, I prostituted and took advantage of and, like, stole everything from and, like, and then there's this, and then there's a person who knows me now, and it's like, you people, you guys don't know the same person. You know, and it's just crazy to me how, like, because sometimes I forget, like, I was the dude who woke up at OU Medical Center. You know what I mean? And left that day and got high. And I was the guy that got arrested outside that hotel and got took back to Oklahoma County. That was a fucking weird night, bro. I was tripping balls in Oklahoma County Jail. And, like, they were not having it. Like, they were not putting up with my shit. And it was just weird, man. But something I wanted to share before I got into the topic, because I've been thinking about it since I found out about it. I don't have a lot of social media, but I have Reddit, and I look, and I'm on Reddit a lot. It's not great for me, but sometimes it's good for me, because I learn things, and I learned a term. I don't even remember what the post was about. It's irrelevant, but the term was mudita. It's a Sanskrit word, and it means vicarious joy. And when I learned about it, I was like, "What the fuck is that?" Like, there's not an English word for it, because it doesn't translate, right? It's like it's the joy that you feel based solely on the fact that someone else is experiencing joy. You have nothing to do with it. You're not invested in it. You're not associated with it. It's not like I like pride, so to speak, like somebody that you're a friend with and you have an association with and you may have some influence with and they experience joy and you have a relationship, so that's where the joy... It's joy based solely on the fact that someone else is experiencing joy. And I was like, fuck, that sounds so cool. Right? Because for me, oftentimes, I'll see someone experiencing joy and I feel envy instead of joy. I'm not happy for them. I'm not happy with them. You could call it empathetic joy, but that sounds so fucking cool. And I also found out the opposite of that word, right, which is some weird German word. We're learning all kinds of words today. This is an English lesson. And also Sanskrit, and then German. The German word is Schadenfreude. It's the opposite of that word, and it means pleasure in others' discomfort. And like that, and I find that that's where I'm at most of the time. Right? It's like, oh yeah, their life fucking sucks, dude. That is fire. You know what I mean? Like, and it's like, and what I find is that in indulging in that, it affects me spiritually. Right? Like, and that's why like I go through my life and like I'm not very joyful most of the time. And if I am, it's at the expense of others. You know, and the way that it relates to this is because I think about how I can go from one to the other, and it has to start somewhere, and for me it has to start with the first step. Right? And what's crazy about that is whenever I think about like an admission of powerlessness and unmanageability and how that opened the door, and I was just looking at in the literature, honestly, during the main speaker, I was looking in the literature. And it talks about opening the door to recovery 6 fucking times in the basic text. 6 different specific ways it says that the door can be opened to recovery. I'm not going to get into all of them because I didn't write them down and I don't have my books with me. And so just know that it's a relevant theme. Like, and it's persistent throughout the literature. Like, hey, like this thing needs to happen. And I also know that in the second step, it talks about like once we've accepted this step, we've started on down the road to recovery. So like don't we in the second step, we go down, we start on the journey, we go down the road. But in order for me to do that, like to get on the journey, I have to open the fucking door to start on that journey. Like it makes perfect sense, right? If I think about it that way, if I'm going to take a journey back to my room, I'm going to first have to go through this fucking door. The problem for me is that I always view that door, that admission of unmanageability and powerlessness as something that like a door that I could open and prop open and just leave open. And what I found out is it's more like a revolving door at a hotel. And I get in the thing and you have to push it to go around and I find that I just continually do this. And I never actually go through the fucking door. And it's only open for a brief moment. Like that door, those type of doors are only open as long as you're putting in the effort to open the door. And once that moment is gone, the door is closed again. And it's like that's what I have found. And whenever I got to Narcotics Anonymous, it didn't take me very long after getting here to get with the fact that my life was fucked up. Right? It was obvious. Like I didn't have any money. I didn't have a job. I didn't have any real relationships. All the relationships with my family were fucked. Like everything that I owned when I got to NA this time was in a pillowcase that I stole from a La Quinta on 41st and 169. Like literally all of my worldly possessions were in that bag, you know? And it's like, so it wasn't very difficult for me to get with the fact that, oh, wow, yeah, this is unmanageable. It's so unmanageable, in fact, that like the only time things ever got good for me was when someone else was taking over the management of my life. right? Be that an like a treatment center or a rehab or the VA or the court system. Somebody else needs to say, hey, you need to be up out of bed at 8:30. You need breakfast, or get up at 6. Breakfast is at 8. It ends at 8:30, right? Then you got group at 9 o'clock. Then you need to go visit the counselor. I'm like, okay, I can do this. I can do this regimented sort of like be here at this time, wait in this line for this long, go do this thing. It's like, okay, I can handle that. So what I find is that without that, I don't know what the fuck to do with myself. So my default is to like get high, you know, because I don't know how to handle life on life's terms. And it's really it's the simple things like it's somewhere in our literature talks about like do I believe that like the normal things that people take on as a matter of course are like too much a burden for me to bear. It's like, oh my God, I gotta pay these fucking bills and I gotta get a tag and I gotta go to work. It's like, this is absurd, you know? It's like, no, everybody does that, you know. That's just a normal thing that people do. But for me, it was like it didn't seem fair, you know, that I had to do that. And so it wasn't hard for me to understand when I got here that like, okay, right, like that makes sense. It made sense to me. All right, man. Yeah, the drugs, because you know, let's face it. Like getting here, that's how we identify. That's ultimately why we come to Narcotics Anonymous. Is because the drugs. That's how we get here. That's how we identify. That's the most glaring problem. And it's like I can get with that. The drugs make my life unmanageable. It's how I had to view it when I got here. And it's a fact. The drugs do make my life unmanageable. You know? And once I got with that, it's like I'm halfway there. And it talks about like it would be difficult to make one admission without the other. Like how could we say, oh, my life is unmanageable, but I'm not powerless over the disease of addiction? Because it talks about unmanageability is the outward evidence of our powerlessness. So those two things go hand in hand. But for me, in my mind, it doesn't always work that way. Right, for me in my mind, a lot of times it works like, well, my life is unmanageable because this person is doing this thing. My life is unmanageable because, you know, this institution is doing me this way. Right, or it's like I don't ever want to take responsibility for the unmanageability because that would require that I accept the powerlessness that comes along with it, and I don't want to be powerless. Right, the first step talks about oftentimes when we come upon a situation that requires us an admission of powerlessness, our first response may be try to exert power over it. So like, oh, here's a thing that I'm powerless over, but let me try just a little bit fucking harder to control it. Maybe I'm just not trying hard enough to get this thing under control. And what I find is that the harder I try, the more unmanageability results. You know what I mean? And the unfortunate thing for me is that the longer I've stayed here, the more unmanageability it has taken for me to get to the place where I can recognize it, you know, as something that's my own causing, you know, and that's hard, man. But back to like we're coming into Narcotics Anonymous, easy fucking peasy. It really was not the first time I came to NA, right? The first time I came to NA, Jamie was my sponsor, right, so to speak. He took me to Buck's house one time. All I remember was that there was food, and it was free, and that was all I remember, right? I never called him on the phone. We didn't work no steps. That was in 2013, and I was high very soon after, right? And it's like I couldn't get with the fact then that I was even an addict. And if I'm not an addict, then what am I making an admission of? What am I powerless over? Like if I can't get with the fact that I suffer from the disease of addiction, I can't make any sort of fucking admission. You know, so like I had to get beat bad enough by the disease of addiction. What's crazy is in 2013, that was before I slit my throat. That was before I shot up the nursing home. Different story. Mm-hmm. Not going to get into that right now. Google it. You know what I mean?
It was a flare gun.
It was a flare gun. No one died. Anyways, that was before the real crazy shit happened. Right? And I had already been to treatment. I had been exposed to NA. But it's like the consequences of using and the unmanageability that resulted from that were insignificant at the time compared to what was going to happen. You know what I mean? And I found that to be true in here also. Look, man, if I could have... That'd be a fucking lie, bro. I almost said, I'm going to say it now to say what I would have said so that I can say that it's not true. What I was going to say, and I'm going to say it now, what I'm going to say right now, I'm fucking myself up now. What I'm going to say right now that I wasn't going to say is that if I could go back and like recognize what the fuck was going on much sooner than it took me, I would have done something different, but I wouldn't have. Even knowing it, I wouldn't have. Right? Because if I had, then the way it is now wouldn't be the way it is now, and the way it is now is fucking good.
Boy.
Yeah. You know what I mean? The way that my life is right, how my life looks right now in this moment is good. It just is. You know, it's not, it can be better, and I believe that it will be better, and not necessarily in the materialistic or like the financial sense, although I think that I will make more money. You know what I mean? That's how life is. But like what I mean is like in the sense that like I will treat people better.
Yeah.
I fucking believe that. I believe that I'll be able to treat people like Alan does. Okay. Look, man, when all the shit happened that you, if you don't know what happened, get with it. Find the NA Weekly from about 6 months ago. You'll figure it the fuck out. You know what I mean? But when all that happened, and I was like, where the fuck am I going to go? What am I going to do? Who am I going to talk to? There's this guy that's gone through a similar thing. And this, my expectation was that NA was going to treat me the same way I had treated NA for fucking years. My expectation was that the people in NA were going to fucking shun me, and were going to treat me differently, and were going to fucking turn their back on me, because I had done that to everyone in NA, right? I had done that. I had fucking turned my back on my relationship with Al. So my expectation was that he was going to do that to me, and what I found was that almost everybody in NA was had so much more recovery than I did. All the people who I thought I was leaps and bounds ahead of in the program, I come to find out, were leaps and bounds ahead of me, right? And Mark was sharing yesterday, and he said that he had confused participation with application, and I was like, God damn, Mark, you know what I mean? Fuck off with that shit, you know what I mean? And I've been thinking about that since he said it, and I was like, fuck, man. That's me, man. That's me. I go to X amount of meetings. I call my sponsor X amount of times. I go to all these events all over the country, right? I share at these things. I go do this thing with my sponsorship family, and I do H&I every week, and I work steps regularly, and I'm of service in this many fucking ways, but I treat people like shit. You know what I mean? And it's like, that's participating in all the things, but applying none of it. You know what I mean? Except in ways where it's fucking easy. You know what I mean? Kind of like what Brandon was sharing. It's like, bro, it's easy to apply principles with people who believe the exact same way as me. You know what I mean? It's like, oh yeah, hell, we're fucking vibing, we're in sync. You know what I mean? We're not arguing about nothing. We're all just like falling in line and fucking doing the thing. Easy peasy, baby. You know what I mean? But can I apply the principles whenever we have different belief systems? You know what I mean? Can I treat the member of Narcotics Anonymous who attends a meeting a week, a meeting a month, a meeting a year, the same way that I treat the person who attends a meeting a day? Right? Can I view the person who doesn't have any formal service commitments the same way I treat the people who do all the fucking service commitments? For me, oftentimes the answer is no, right? Because like, although like there are no requirements for membership, I have requirements for membership in my life. You know what I mean? And that's where I've been wrong. That's where I've been wrong for, I'm not going to say 7 years, because there was a period of time early in recovery where that wasn't the case, but I developed a belief system over time that it insulated me, and I thought I'm protecting myself by keeping these people out who don't agree, believe exactly the way that I do. And what I found is that really what was happening was I was cutting myself off from the majority of Narcotics Anonymous. I don't know what the fuck this has to do with this, except for the fact that the only way for me to get through that is to admit that what I'm doing is wrong. The way I believe about NA is wrong. It's just wrong. It's just, and it's not an opinion thing. For me, it hasn't been. It's not like, well, you know, some people believe the program works this way. Look, nobody believes the program works the way I was doing. Nobody does, except for the people like me who are fucking stuck in that. Because it doesn't work that way. It didn't work for me. Let me put it that way. It may work for other people. It did not work for me. You know? And it's like, I had to admit to myself, not to anyone else. I had to be like, hey, Benjamin, it's not working, bro. It's not working. The harm that you're causing is not working for you. And it's not working for NA. Right? Like, can I get beyond like the harm that I'm causing myself and see like there's a lot of fucking. And what's crazy about all that is like it's if what happened hadn't have happened the way that it happened, I would have not done anything. You know what I mean? And that's why I'm fucking grateful. I fucking needed that. I was gonna say something that I'm not gonna say. I want to say it, but I'm not gonna do that. You know what I mean? Because I don't have to. And it's like I'm fucking grateful for Narcotics Anonymous because even still today, with coming up on 7 years clean, there are still a lot of areas in my life where I continually fail to make an admission of powerlessness and unmanageability. Because without that twofold admission, that's really one admission that it has two aspects. Without making that admission, like the first step, and it works out why it talks about the paradox of this admission. It's talking about that admission. The admission of powerlessness and unmanageability. It says the paradox of this admission is evident once we work the first step. Right? As long as we think we can continue using, we're almost forced to continue. And it's like as long as... Dude, and then that makes so much fucking sense to me. It's so simple. Of course, if I think I can control it, I'm going to continue to do it. Because I'm telling myself I can stop whenever I want. I can stop whenever I want. I can stop whenever I want until I find out I can't stop anymore because I can't stop fucking justifying it. Right, and it says I don't have a choice until I stop trying to justify it. Well, they're treating me this way, or they're doing this, or she's doing that, or I got this reason, or whatever. And it's like as long as I'm doing that, I can never say, hey, it's unmanageable. It's unmanageable, right? And the tricky thing for me is that like the unmanageability doesn't have to get to. It's like we talk about like we can raise our bottoms, right? People say that, right? Like our bottoms don't have like addicts that are more fortunate, and I don't have to go to the same lengths to get to the place where I can make an admission of unmanageability and powerlessness as I have in the past, right? It's like I in an ideal world I can raise that bar to the point where it only takes a little bit of unmanageability, right? And what's crazy is that unmanageability for me always starts on the inside. It always starts on the inside because it talks about the emotional, or the inner or personal unmanageability that we can often like notice by like the emotional volatility. And once that reaches a boiling point, it's like that's whenever it starts to express itself on the outside. You know, and it's like, because I think about things like, I go back and forth. This is something I have not made an admission in any type of way. I'm going to admit to you that I know that an admission needs to be made, but I haven't fucking gotten there. It's like, I go back and forth between being. Here's the tricky thing about once I gain an understanding of like the principles and like the program and shit like that, I can look, man, I can twist the fucking shit, and I can dress up the disease of addiction in like this outfit of like principles, and like I can say that, like for example, there's times where I get into obsession about going to the gym and my diet. Right? Like, that's just the way that it is. There's times that I get into that, but the tricky thing is I say, I'm so fucking disciplined. And other people feed into that, and they don't know they're doing it, or maybe they do, and they're fuckers, and they're trying to, like, fuck me, you know what I mean? But people will be like, man, I really admire your commitment to, like, you know, like, your diet and shit. I'm like, oh, hell yeah, bro, yeah, I'm just fucking really committed, man. I'm about this life. You know? It's just, like, what I do now, you know? And it's like, the reality is it's like, I was like, man, I'm gonna fucking get abs and I'm gonna be fucking cool. And then you get them and you're like, I'm never in a position where I can take my shirt off and not be a douchebag. So what was the fucking point in that? You know what I mean? And what I find is that it's never satisfying. It's never enough. But it does feed the fucking obsession, right? It gives me something to fucking to feed on. And it's like, the crazy thing is how I've learned to determine, and this could be wrong, I don't know, it's what I believe right now. How do I know if it's the disease of addiction, or how do I know if it's just something that I do? Right? Because some people, like, I fucking like to eat ice cream. You're going to tell me every time I go get ice cream I'm using? Like, no. It's like, if I go get 4 fucking scoops of ice cream, like, because here's how I know. One time, every year in September, I get fucked up, right? Because some people died in Afghanistan in September, and everybody on Facebook's always posting about it, and it kind of fucks me up sometimes. And there's been a couple times where in those feelings, I'll go get like a double dip hot fudge sundae with all the fucking shit. And in that moment, I know that I'm eating that because I feel fucked up, right? Now, and there's other times where I'm out eating with, like, we went and got ice cream today. It was pretty good. You know what I mean? I don't think we were using. We were just enjoying a moment with our friends. Yeah, maybe we were using, right? It was just me. I was by myself. No one else was there. But with, like, the gym shit is, like, how I've come to, like, kind of see how it's, when it's the disease of addiction and when it's not, is how I fucking feel when I don't do it. Like, how do I feel when I don't go to the gym? And some people are like, you should not go for a couple weeks to see how you feel. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, not go for a couple weeks, that's just letting myself go. I'm not going to do that. You know what I mean? Because there's times I have gotten in places where, like, I got to fucking go, dude. And like people, like, it's people's birthdays and they want to go eat, and I'm like, I can't go eat, I can't do that. And they're like, bro, you're like 12% body fat, why do you fucking care? You know what I mean? It's like, I don't know, because for some reason, and this has been true my entire fucking life, and until I admit that, I'm saying it, but I'm not admitting it. Those are different things. Me saying that to you now is not me making a fucking admission. That's just me stating like a fact, or like a thing that I think is a fact. It may or may not be, because what we know about the truth is subject to revision. But I'm just saying a thing. But until I admit it to myself, and how I know whenever I've admitted it to myself is because the door becomes open. And how I know that the door is open. I know when the door is open, because it says that whenever we surrender in a new area, like, it talks about being underscored by a rising sense of hope. Do I feel fucking hopeful?
Yeah.
Right? Because if I feel hopeful, the door is open. And the reason, because once the door opens, I can fucking see what is out there. You know what I mean? Like, I can finally see, like, it's not clear. It's not like I can see exactly what's on the other side, but I get a vision of something that's different and better. And that's how I know that I've really accepted it. And I don't feel that way about the gym shit right now. I'm okay with it being my fucking thing right now. I just am. Me and Brad, we're cool with it. No, I'm not throwing shade on you, Brad. I'm just, you know, because we're the same, but you're a lot bigger than me. And that's fine. That's fine. I'm never going to be that big. Because I've been eating in a deficit for 3 fucking years. How am I ever going to be that big? You know what I mean? Shredder, that's right. It's my new nickname, if you guys didn't know that. It's crazy, bro. And because then the other thing too is, like, going through. I'm not gonna share till fucking 10:30. That's not a thing we're doing. So just so we're all clear on that. Whose water is this?
Drink it.
Huh? I'm not drinking after you fuckers, man. It's crazy, bro. Like, my life is really fucking good right now, and it's because I genuinely, and I fucking mean this, and I don't mean this in any way other than just to state something that I believe to be true for me right now, is that, like, in the past 4 or 5 months, I feel like I've been in recovery. You know what I mean? And I don't mean that in, like, an arrogant way, like, oh, I'm so much in recovery. It just feels different, man. It just feels different in the last 4 or 5 months than it's felt in a really fucking long time. You know? And that is what it is. You know? I time will tell, you know, how it all plays out, or, you know what I mean, whatever. But right now, it feels fucking good, man. It feels good to go to any fucking meeting I want to and feel loved and accepted and to be able to reciprocate that. It feels good to fucking just do whatever I want, man. And I don't mean that in the way of, like, oh, I want to go, you know, bang a hooker or whatever. I mean that, like, in the way of, like to, like, just what came to mind. I don't know. It's just it just feels different, man. And it feels different because I feel like I have surrendered to the program of Narcotics Anonymous more often in the last couple of months, the last 5 or 6 months, than I have in a really fucking long time. You know what I mean? And surrendered in a different way. For a long time, it was like the surrender of just not fighting anymore. You know? And that worked for a while. But what I found out that was like what I was surrendering to wasn't the program of Narcotics Anonymous. I just didn't want to fight the system, so to speak, right? I didn't want to fight the status quo. I didn't want to fight the way things are. I just kind of go with the flow and tell myself I'm bending with the wind. September 11th, just for today, the Tyler's Clean Day. I'm bending with the wind. I'm just letting things happen. I'm just going along with the flow of life. And that was not surrendering to the program of Narcotics Anonymous. Because spiritual principles are never in conflict with one another. So how can I tell myself I'm surrendering to the program whenever my actions are a reflection of the disease of addiction? That doesn't make sense, you know? And I find a different kind of surrender lately that's like submitting to the authority of something. Not so much, like it's beyond not fighting. It's like not fighting, but also letting something else have the authority. Right? And that something, certainly not being an individual or even an entity or even Narcotics Anonymous, like as the institution of the fellowship, but being like the principles contained in the program. Like if and this is what I've been telling like guys that I sponsor, guys that I've been sponsoring for a while now, is like, bro, you've been clean for a long time, man. Right? Like you've been clean 5, 6, 7 years. Like, hey, what should I do about this situation? Which decision is in alignment with your principles? Do that. Fucking do that. Don't worry about what you think my principles are. Don't worry about what you think if what you're going to do is in alignment with my morals and values, because that doesn't fucking matter. Right? Do what you believe is in alignment with your morals and values, because that, I have found, living in accordance with my morals and values brings me so much fucking peace, man. It just does. And I know what it feels like to not do that for a very long time. Right? To live in accordance with what I believe other people's morals and values are, it's painful, man. It's painful for me, and it's painful for people who I come in contact with. You know, and it's like, thank God for Narcotics Anonymous, because I've finally been able to admit to myself that, like, I can't control that shit, man. My life needs management. It does. You know what I mean? I need to be managed. Can I allow the program of Narcotics Anonymous? Can I allow the principles? Can I allow members with less clean time than me to help me manage my fucking life? You know, I have to. You know, because it's in that, like, that admission of like, do I believe I'm powerless over the disease of addiction and an obsession with fucking my diet and going to the gym? No, I do not. Right? Because I continue to think that I can control it. Right? Like, that just makes fucking sense. But it's like, that's the trick of like the denial piece, is like, yeah, that's not really a big deal though. You know what I mean? It's like, if that's the biggest deal I got going on right now, I'm fucking doing all right. You know? And that's a trick, man. That's just a tricky thing, because what happens is I start to rob myself of like the beautiful fucking life and the relationships. And it's like, bro, like, I understand, like, some people, like, hey, if I was like a professional like body person, you know, and it's like I was like, oh, I'm doing this because I'm gonna go do a thing, that would, but I'm just doing it just to feed my own fucking ego and shit. And what I'm doing is like, people say, hey, do you want to go out to eat? And I'm like, no, I already ate dinner, which is probably true. I ate like a can of tuna or something fucking dumb. You know what I mean? And it's like I'm robbing myself of the beauty of living just for today. Because I can't admit that it's a fucking problem. And that's I didn't even plan on talking about that. It's all hypothetical anyways. may or may not be true. But it's like I still need help, man. And I know I was not really on topic or whatever. I really don't give a fuck. You know what I mean? It's like one of these days. Look, man, here's the deal. I really don't care to share that much. You know what I mean? It's all right, but it's like, fuck, man. I couldn't even listen to fucking... I already forgot his name. Brandon. Couldn't even listen to Brandon share because I was looking at my fucking phone. You know, and it's like... I just want to be cool, man. I want to experience that fucking that mudita type fucking. I want to feel that, right? Because Garner got to spend time. I'm just saying everybody's names. Fuck it. Garner got to hang out with his son today, and that was cool. And like Zach was showing me pictures, and he was like, we was doing this, and I was like, and in that moment, because I've been thinking about this thing, in that moment it was like, oh, this is a moment where I could feel that, and I fucking didn't. I was like, this is a moment where I could see the joy that's being happening here and I can experience that, and I didn't, and I was like, fuck. You know what I mean? I was like, fuck, man. How do I get there? I don't know. I don't know, like, I can't lay you out a fucking step-by-step. I can't write you a fucking list of things to do to get there, but I know that as long as I continue doing this, as long as I continue to stay in the program of Narcotics Anonymous, as long as I continue to find new areas, because it talks about recovery begins whenever we start to apply the principles in all areas of our lives. People will make an argument that unless you're applying principles in every area at the same fucking time, you're not in recovery. So no one's in recovery ever then. You know what I mean? Recovery is not a thing, right? My belief is that once recovery has touched every area at least one fucking time, it's like, okay, we're here. You know what I mean? We're moving forward. You know, and it's like, yeah, it's not going to be there all the time, right? Because like, that's just not real. And I'm kind of rambling now, so you know, it is what it is. I'm pretty much done. So, thank you guys.
If our last speaker is... I'm just kidding. let's circle up and have the third step prayer.